Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Are you listening to Gamertag Radio episode 1118? This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me this episode of Gamertag Radio, we have Paris Lady. Paris, what's going on, man?
Hey, good morning. How's everyone doing?
Everything good, man. We're here, man. But yo, the crew is back. It's been 2 months. The crew is back. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the one and the only Peter Toledo. He is back. Pete, what's up?
What's up? Yep, that's right. I'm back.
Oh my God, how you been, dude? It's been kind of quiet with not having you here, man. It's been kind of very, very quiet.
I don't even know if that's a good thing, a bad thing. I don't know if that was like a backhanded compliment. It's been good. It's actually good to be back home. Just period, right? Spending the last 2 months, somewhat back home, right? Like being back in the States. That was an experience after spending 14 months plus. You know, it's been a very interesting 18, 20 months here, right? You know, the States to come to Europe. And then just as my family gets back together, we start get back in the groove of being a family again. Bye. I got to leave. For what was supposed to only be a 3-week business trip ended up being 7 weeks. But the time you spend away really forms those bonds. It really strengthens those bonds of being away, and it's you're more thankful when you and your family get reunited and you guys get back. So it just makes our relationship and our family stronger at the end of the day. So
Now for someone that, you know, you live outside the United States, was it difficult, complicated to enter here, coming back here, like because of the whole pandemic and everything, or no?
No, honestly, coming back here to Europe felt strange. It almost felt like when I first came in October 2019, where it's almost like those 7 weeks in the States washed all of the acclimation of being here in Europe. So it was kind of weird. It like the days leading into my return back, it felt weird to be coming back to non-English speaking, you know, a foreign country, you know, stranger in a strange land feeling, right? So, but other than that, you know, it's good. You know, I've got my family back here. You know, like we went on like a 10K hike yesterday. It was great going back into that routine of what I was doing prior to me leaving, right? Prior to the holidays, actually prior to them coming here, because it was the winter. It was me doing my weekly hikes and getting back into the day-to-day or the regular pattern that I had established here. So it's slowly but surely starting to come back. It's still a learning process being, you know, getting used to having family here, right? After spending so much time alone. But it's good. It's like falling back in love with your family again. It's great.
So really good. No, welcome back, Pete. Welcome back. All right, everyone, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. Also, make sure to find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio and follow us, subscribe, and also post a review. If you would like to be part of our fan mail segment or episode, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Pete. So before we go to this topic, have you been keeping up with the news or everything that's been going on?
I try. I try. I mean, literally, all I got to do is just watch you guys' Twitter feed, and I'm good, right?
Oh yeah, with our predictions, you know, with our predictions, not news, just predictions, right?
Insiders.
All right, it's all good. All right, so there's an article that was posted on Bloomberg.com. This was posted just a couple of days ago about Sony. And this is from Jason Schreier. He posted about Sony's obsessions with Blockbuster is stirring unrest with PlayStation Empire. And this article is pretty long. I highly recommend for you guys to check it out and read it. Here it talks about where Sony's been making a lot of changes now for the past couple of years now. They've been focusing more on just like the Blockbuster hits. You know, games like, which I'm a huge fan of, Gravity Rush came out for the PlayStation Vita. And this other one too. But for example, for that game, wasn't a huge success, but I felt like it was very unique and very cool. And there was a studio that got shut down that worked on that project, you know, because now Sony is just concentrating on just making bigger games, AAA games, especially The Last of Us, which this article says The Last of Us remake, that's another game that now Sony is working on. And I think it's because of the series is coming out on HBO Max sometime next year. I get it. I think this is going to help a lot of people rebuy the game, you know. But the article is really cool. We're really good. We're going to talk about this right now in this episode. But I just want to get, like, you know, your reactions about this. Paris, I know you were the one that we were having this conversation the other day, and we were talking about this for like a good 30, 40 minutes, man, you know, on the phone about our thoughts about this, man. And the issue that I have is this, man. Like, I love AAA games, but I feel like AA games and indie games are super important, super, super important in our industry, because that's where you see developers making games that are super unique and creative, that basically the AAA games are not actually doing that at all. You know what I'm saying? So what are your thoughts about this article from Jason Schreier about PlayStation, the changes they've been doing?
I think it's all an overreaction, personally. Mm-hmm. I think I don't discount what Jason Schreier reported. Let me be upfront about that. I think all of that is probably very factual. But ultimately, PlayStation as a brand, yeah, they've gone through a leadership shift. They're clearly changing focus and emphasizing more on bigger AAA titles. But that does not mean at the same time that they're going to not still support AA titles. They're not going to still have new IPs. They're not going to still take risks. I think a lot of this is people overreacting online, thinking that the sky is falling with PlayStation when it's not, especially in the short term. In the next 18 to 24 months, their internal studio lineup is fine. All the games that we all want to be excited about are going to come out. They're going to be great. We're going to enjoy them. I think people need to show a little patience. I think a lot of this, you know, just to bring Xbox into it for a second, is Xbox has consistently stayed in the news the past, I don't know, 6 weeks or so, right? It seems like every week there's something happening, whereas PlayStation has not had that. But I don't think they need to. I think people need to show some patience. We're getting Returnal and we're getting MLB The Show here in a couple weeks. We're getting Ratchet and Clank in June. We know unless it gets delayed, we're getting Horizon Forbidden West in the fall. We know PlayStation VR is on the horizon. I'd also throw in the fact that there's still their summer event. I think people should wait. I think people should wait and see what they have to say this summer versus thinking the sky is falling because they're not giving you news in April. They're not doing what Xbox is doing, and that's fine because we know that big games are coming. Yes, they've shifted focus. You know, was it Sony Japan? I'm forgetting the exact way to say it, but you know what I'm saying. Their Japan studio, they've obviously shuttered some of that. Okay, yeah, that's not great news. But let's find out why. What is the focus moving forward for their AAA? A lot of people have been saying, I want Sony to keep making weird stuff. We don't know that they're not going to make weird stuff. I say show a little patience. I say let's wait until the summer. Let's see what they have to say then about new upcoming project announcements, things like that. And then we can judge accordingly. If all of a sudden everything is The Last of Us 3 and we're remaking this and we're remaking that and everything is just a sequel to their existing stuff, all right, I maybe we should be a little concerned, but I got a feeling that's not going to be the case personally. They're going to continue to make new IPs. They're going to continue to make reads. Just because they're not going to make a Days Gone 2 doesn't mean that they're not going to, allow Sony Bend, as an example, to try something else. Yes, Sony Bend is losing leadership right now. People are leaving. There's clearly a shift happening here. I'm not denying that at all. But let's see what the end result of it's going to be, personally, before I think we, you know, hit the panic button and think that PlayStation is going back to their early PlayStation 3 days of arrogance, because we just simply don't know that yet. I would wait. So that's my thoughts after sitting on this a couple of days and kind of analyzing what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, people will see this, and like you said, people will overreact and oh my God, it's the end of Sony. Like, it's not like that, man. Look, I think I'll bring this up, Paris, from the last episode, the caller that we had talking about, like, hey, Danny, there's no news. Why are you guys not talking about PlayStation? And we explain why and this and this and that. And like you said, PlayStation is doing something different that Xbox is not doing. And there's not really news from the company yet. But like you said, the summer, we're going to find out more about games, their plans. I know slowly they've been talking about VR. So I, again, as a fan of just games, you just got to wait and see. And then once it's official, because all this is just rumors, it's not like official news or anything like that, right? Once it's official, then we can have that conversation. And like I said last episode, that's when you start posting your feedback to the company, and hopefully that will help them to make them some changes. Is this PlayStation 3 days type vibe? No, I don't think so. I feel like that was way worse, in my opinion, back then. But nah, I think it's going to be fine, I think, you know. But Pete, what you think about this article from Jason Schreier, man, about all this?
Like, I'm 50-50, right? So when Paris said what he just said, I was kind of relieved. I was glad that one of us actually said it. It's gotten to the point in the industry where it's almost the same as just American regular mainstream media, where there's nothing ever good. We don't report on the positives that occur in video games in general. It's always someone's being overworked or something is bad, or it's a never ending negative news cycle. It's annoying. And I understand it's just part of the human nature where, you know, we just want to point out the bad things, but I think we also need to point out the good things, right? That being said, you know, there is some validity to what Jason said in his article. Unfortunately, at the end of the day, it's a business, right? We all look to video games as an experience, whether you're playing Titanfall or you're playing Call of Duty, you're playing Mario, et cetera. It doesn't matter. It's all about that fun experience, whether you're on your couch, you're at your desk, et cetera. And that's what it's all about, right? Businesses such as Sony, et cetera, don't always see it like that, right? You may have, you know, the top of the heads, or what's his name? The new head of Sony came from Guerrilla Games.
Jim Ryan. Oh boy, you're thinking about Herman Hurst.
Right. He has to look at it from a business perspective, right? How does Sony get to that next level, right? Yes, they've gotten so accustomed because they've done nothing but drop hits after hits after hits after hits. And to use Days Gone as an example, yeah, that while it did well financially, it didn't do well critically, right? And it as a possibly 6 or 7 out of 10 game didn't hit the bar because they've hit so many high bars with Horizons and God of War and every other title that's come out over the last 6-7 years. You know, those titles get really, you know, those that upper echelon of catalog inventory, when you're talking at games that have all been game of the year, you know, almost synonymously across the entire industry, to break into that upper echelon, it's going to be really, really difficult. But it's how do you say no to those 2A tier type games, right? Those are the ones that allow your teams to experiment and, who knows, maybe make a new thing that becomes the next greatest thing, right? Dreams really wasn't the biggest hit that everybody thought it was going to be, but it allowed their developers to actually get out of the regular norm of first player experiences, et cetera. So you can look at it both ways. I do like I do agree with that, yes, that they have a high level that moving forward, they're only going, it seems like they're only going to focus on their top tier catalog of games. but I think it's bad that they're not, and we're all hoping, or we're all thinking about this, and we really don't know because we're not in the boardroom with Sony executives. But it's going to be interesting to see what their next slate is going to be for those non triple A super titles that we've become accustomed to playing by from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, I know you mentioned about Dreams, man. I really like that game a lot, man, and I felt like that game didn't get no type of marketing, no push at all. This was more like word of mouth, and also the developers, the studio, are the only ones that's been really pushing it. But it's sad when you see a game like that is so creative and so cool, and it just doesn't get like the push, and the sales has been like okay, the reviews has been phenomenal from that game, you know. So just wondering, like, what are you guys' thoughts about like games like that, like, you know, Dreams? I know Paris mentioned Days Gone. That Sony has tried to release all these cool games, but is not successful. But do you think they should just stay with making those blockbusters games and just experiment here and there in the future, or just stick with those in total?
What's the causal factor to that, though? Right. So we'll take Dreams as the example. The marketing mm-hmm. that they didn't put behind it shows. When you go to look at the game from a critical perspective, right? Everybody, people that played it or were looking forward to it, or fans of Media Molecule, they loved it. Critically acclaimed, but it didn't succeed because they didn't put the marketing money behind it. Then you look at Days Gone, was reviewed as a 6 or 7 out of 10 type game, mid-tier type successful game, ordinarily would have succeeded anywhere else, maybe on Xbox, maybe on Nintendo. But the marketing was there, so it made its money. So which is there a way to even out that imbalance? Is there a way for it, or maybe this is just Sony and their conservative mindset in Japan, where they don't want to put out all that marketing money on a game that they don't have a lot of confidence in?
Yeah, Paris?
I mean it just comes back to return on investment for a lot of stuff. Just sticking with Days Gone specifically. Clearly, the long development time, obviously, whatever the budget may have been versus what the real world sales numbers look like for Days Gone, they didn't feel like that justified a return on investment to now go ahead and green light a sequel. Would I have liked to see them do a sequel? Of course. I mean, as gamers, of course, we all see that. But we need to remember this is a business first, always. They crunched the numbers. They probably looked at it and decided, This is not the best use case for this studio. We would rather this studio focus on something else, which we think will be more profitable for us, versus making a sequel to a Days Gone that may not get the acclaim, like the marketing push you'd have to put into it to try and make it a bigger success than the original. Maybe they didn't feel that was justified. I would assume something like a Ghost of Tsushima, which is another new IP that came out from another internal studio, Sucker Punch. Mm-hmm. I'd almost guarantee they're making a sequel to that, because that one got the critical acclaim. That one was in the Game of the Year discussions. That one, we assume, had the financial, you know, basically made its money back enough that it would make logical sense for them to want to continue that franchise, right? Obviously, we've already seen that with Horizon Zero Dawn. We've seen it with them rebooting God of War. We already know how they feel about the Naughty Dog titles, Uncharted and The Last of Us. So the fact that another one of their big, quote unquote, AAA IPs, they don't want to make a sequel to it, you have to start asking the questions why. Now, to the second thing with Dreams, I again agree. It's a thing of that game. We all, anyone that's touched it, loves it. We obviously know people that are heavily invested into that IP and they really like it. Sony, on the surface, did not put the marketing push behind it to make it this big seller. So we don't know, because obviously the article hinted at, you know, it could have had the potential to be the next Roblox if Sony would have marketed it right. Maybe. But that's one man's opinion. We don't know. We don't know what happens internally with these studios and what decisions are being made. I think ultimately, look at a game like Astro's Playroom. There's something that they gave to us if you bought a PlayStation 5. It's one of the best games you could have played of this next generation, right? that came from Sony Japan. They've, like I said, shifted focus that they're going to continue to allow that team to keep making that kind of stuff. To me, that's a good sign. Who is to say that they don't have another team that they've created or is working on more unique things like that internally? We just simply don't know. To go back to my original point, I don't think we can look at a company that had a major shift in leadership the past couple of years. They're moving pieces around and getting things in place to focus on the next, you know, 7 to 8 years of this quote unquote PlayStation 5 generation, and assume right at the start that the sky is falling when we know there's great games coming from them at the start. I think the best way to look at this is, in the short term, no one should be worried about them. It's the long term. And the only reason we're worried about it is because we don't know. You just don't know. But I can't sit here in April 2021 and say, damn it, PlayStation, you need to tell me everything about your future plans. Because there's no reason for them to do that yet. Let's see what they do this summer. That's all I'm saying. Let's see what they do this summer. If this summer we come out of that and we're underwhelmed, now raise the flags. Now be concerned, potentially. Again, I just don't think that's going to be the case. They have done everything right since 2013. Well, for the most part, you get what I'm saying. They've been the leader since 2013. I don't see them radically just throwing all that away and deciding, well, we're just going to be arrogant PlayStation again, and you'll just buy all our blockbusters, and that's all we care about. What got them to the place that they are smart decisions with their games at the AA and at the AAA level. They clearly see what their competition is doing. We already know. We don't even need to truly bring them into this conversation other than to say some pretty smart people at PlayStation, I'm pretty sure they see that their competition is ramping up to be a true competitor in this generation. So no, this is not a time for them to rest on their laurels. They're obviously shifting focus to make sure that they can stay the leaders versus their competition passing them by. We'll just have to see what it is. Again, I say a lot of this is just patience. People need to be patient. People need to stop fear-mongering on social media because they don't know. None of us know because none of us work for PlayStation. So all we can do is speculate. I think the smarter play is show patience because that's all you really can do. You throwing a hissy fit in April about what one article says about PlayStation might be doing is shame on you. As far as I'm concerned, people just need to be patient. I personally think they'll be fine. Just like I said last week, what has PlayStation done to make me lose confidence in their future plans? They haven't done anything yet. And when I say them, I'm saying them actually announcing something, them doing something, getting articles that are getting quote unquote insider information. Sure, it kind of starts to paint a picture about them. But we all know that stuff is incomplete because we're never going to see the total picture until they tell us the total picture. And I'll say, wait till the summer, because that's when you'll start finding out.
No, agreed. Now, this is beyond PlayStation, but when a company is focusing on AAA games only, let's just make believe, right? The part that makes me worry, though, is there's going to be a time that's going to be dry with no games because now
you don't know that.
No. Paris, let me finish. I'm saying beyond Sony. I'm not talking about Sony only. Okay. Beyond Sony. If a studio is working on just AAA games, it takes some time. It takes a long time.
You don't know that though. You keep saying that, but you don't know that. You don't know that they're only working on AAA games. That's my whole point. I think Paris, that's a lot of speculation. You're speculating.
But I'm saying, Paris, I'm having a conversation beyond Sony. You're bringing up Sony. I'm talking about beyond, like the part that I'm worried about, just companies when there are just focusing on AAA and not indie games and AA's, because those games are also important too. And because, for example, Nintendo, they've been releasing big games that's considered AAA, right? But there's also games that are smaller that is not a major AAA title, but it's been a huge success that they've released digitally, or some of them it might be released on digitally and also retail stores. You know what I'm saying? So that's the only part that I'm worried about, Paris. Like, I just want companies to don't forget about those games. That's all. You know, because if we only gonna be focusing on AAA, I mean, I feel like there's a missed opportunity, man, for those smaller games. Like, for example, Grounded, that came out of nowhere. That was an awesome game, you know what I'm saying? So it's just that. It's just the conversation. I'm not saying that Sony's just going to concentrate on that and that's it. But that's the part that I'm a little bit worried about. That's all. Because I love Infamous Second Son. Amazing game. Is that considered a huge success for Sony? I don't know. Gravity Rush was an awesome game that came out for Vita, and they released it for PlayStation 4 too. You know, so that's all. That's what I'm bringing up when it comes to that part. But well, now you could go and say what you have to say, or Pete.
It's not like they shut down Bend altogether anyways, right? They still had the opportunity to step away. Mm-hmm. And I think it was same for the same team that did Days Gone. They didn't want to be part of that, right? They didn't want to be part of being considered Naughty Dog South, which was what, you know, they were allegedly becoming by becoming the support studio. And I think if we look at studios just across the industry, what is it? Oh, God. Paris, I think you'll know this one. The one that did the support team for Destiny.
Oh, you mean Vicarious Visions?
Yeah,
or High Moon. Vicarious Visions and High Moon. There were two support studios.
Right. And we look at them. They've done big titles before. I guess what at the end of the day, what I'm trying to say is that every studio has to go somewhere, and no studio wants to stay stagnant or start taking steps taking backward steps in their development cycle. You're going to always end up having teams that want to go out and branch out and create more. Look at Bungie first and foremost, right? They created Halo. They didn't want to be stuck just doing Halo for the rest of their lives. They went out, they branched out, they wanted to do things. And I think that's what we saw from this small team over at Sony. They didn't want to just be stuck doing these small things, right? They didn't want to be stuck being the support studio. And so they said, you know, we want to go work on something. It'll be good. I think it's important that we have, whether you want to call them double A or indie titles, you know, I think it's important for the industry in general, because not everybody wants to, not everyone can afford to have those grand experiences that we've liked or appreciate. But those little games, Hyper Dot is a perfect example from a couple of E3s ago. A game so simple, but is so much, you know, ridiculous fun. You take games, you know, like Ori, or, you know, just games that you didn't anticipate to become those games that stick out. Those, you know, games like that come out of nowhere, and you never experience those because they're not, you know, they're not the ones that have all these marketing dollars, but you never know what happens, right? You look at Among Us last year and Fall Guys, et cetera. Those little games that you never really realized were out there, you know, and that's what games are, you know, that's what those games actually tap into, is that fun couch factor. They're great. Mm-hmm. I just hope Sony doesn't, and I don't think they will. You know, obviously they're going to focus on those big ones, but I'm pretty sure that they're going to have those one or two titles that come out of left field that you're like, what? Where did this come from? You know, so I wouldn't expect them to just shut off their walls and say, no, we're only going to do AAA experiences, because that next AAA experience could just, you know, just could hit the wall and go nowhere. And next thing you know, they're right back to square one. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Paris, were you going to say something about what I said? No. Okay.
No.
Okay. No, I'm just saying.
Because I don't agree with you speculating on that. I'll say that. I think you're speculating on off of one article when you just simply don't know. You don't know. You can't blanket say that all of a sudden all these companies are going to start working on AAA games only when we don't have any precedent for that. Mm-hmm. So no, I don't agree with what you're saying.
Okay. All right. We agree to disagree. That's it. We're fine. All right. So I have a couple of fan mail questions here that I think it would be cool for us to talk about here. Let me look for it right quick here. All right. And it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right. So shout out to everybody that been sending us questions here. So this is from Papito 208. He says, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just the small part of the email. He says, hey, I just started listening to the podcast. Follow you on Twitter and love the topics y'all cover. So my question and statement is, do you think gamers or people in general just forgot to have fun? What do you guys think about that? Let's go with...
Say that again. Say it. Read it again.
All right. Do you think gamers or people in general just forgot to have fun? That's the email right here. And he explains that, you know, people are just like complaining and this and that. And he says here there's so many good games out there that it's actually pretty good, you know. So
no, I think I get what he's saying. Now, mm-hmm. that's just a vocal minority. Most people are reasonable. Most people don't say that. I wouldn't take the super loud small minority of voices on social media as the majority of people out there. I think most people are reasonable personally. I think most people see gaming as fun and they treat it as such. I just think you have the same group of people over and over squawking and complaining about the same things on social media. And it tends to start to, you think that's the real narrative, but I don't agree. I don't think so.
Okay. And you, Pete?
You heard me say it earlier. Games are inherently fun. If they weren't, we wouldn't be playing them. Right? Like, would we be here talking about this if they weren't fun? Right? If we weren't having fun podcasting, would we be doing this? That's why we do it. And like Paris says, you know, there's always going to be the vocal minority who just wants to argue and complain and just talk about the bad things in there. But there's always inherently good in everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
In that regard, yeah. And in that respect, I just say games are fun. If they weren't, we wouldn't be doing them. And yep. We wouldn't be playing them. So,
okay. Now let me go over here. Yeah, and I totally agree. People are look, man. Those are posting all this negative stuff and complaining. And you know, I just either mute them, unfollow, or I try my best to just ignore it. You know what I'm saying? Because the sad part is the good and the positive doesn't get a lot of shine. It's always the negative stuff that people are going to be talking about the most. You know what I'm saying? For example, this article that just came out, people are panicking and talking about this for days and they're turning into like this whole bad thing. And I'm like, nah, man, this is just one side of the story.
I am going to go back to the previous subject. And if people can't tell, I'm thoroughly annoyed.
Okay. Yeah.
Past couple of days because of exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Most people are reasonable. So when you see an article like that, which is justified and should come out, it's like, take a step back. Don't immediately always assume the worst when you see stuff like that. Just because, you know, you have a few studios who basically the head of the company is saying, well, I don't want you to go that direction, so you don't do that. So you know what? You have a choice. So you see people at that studio leaving it because they didn't get to do the project that they wanted to do, right? And that's fine. That's totally fine and reasonable. But it's annoying that then dominates the conversation for a few days and we immediately go to the extreme worst case scenario in that. It's always something in the middle. It's not as bad as you think. It may not be as great as you think. It's ultimately going to be something in the middle. And I guess that's what I'm saying. We let the vocal few dominate the conversation for the many. And that just annoys me to no end. And it's like, here we are. We've literally spent 30 minutes debating about what PlayStation is going to do. Are they only going to make AAA games? Are they going to just ignore trying to be innovative? We simply don't know. Right. And it's all spurned by this article, which again, yes, Jason Schreier report this stuff. I get it. People should get a peek into what's been happening the past few years inside Sony Studios, right? Inside PlayStation. But that doesn't mean that's what PlayStation is doing tomorrow. That doesn't mean that's what PlayStation is doing 5 years from now. You don't know. There's been a shift in focus. There's been a shift in personnel and what their priorities are. But that's not what people are talking about. People immediately assume the worst. And that's why this person is saying, you know, do we not focus on the fun anymore? No, we focus on the freaking BS versus focus on what's right in front of you. All I know is this. I'm going to be playing Ratchet and Clank in June, and I'm freaking excited for it. I'd rather focus on that. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Instead of focusing on some stuff that's not going to affect you until probably 2024, 2025 anyways, because in the short term, you're still going to get great games. And that's what all of this is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about having fun playing games and not rumor mongering, because that's all it is. It's rumor mongering. Nobody knows. Again, yep. People should just wait and see how it plays out versus assuming the worst all the time for everything. That's what annoys me.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
We are going to continue our conversation here on Gamertag Radio, but first let's talk about our sponsor, Oregon State University eCampus. So Jake Champsedine got his creative start by recording over his family's Christmas videotapes when he was 8 years old. And now he travels the world as a photographer for some of music's biggest stars. And in between that time, he completed his degree online with Oregon State University eCampus, a national leader in online education. You GTR listeners, you can advance your career just like Jake by earning your degree online and pursuing your passion in fields like digital communication arts, computer science, and business. Jake reminded me when I was a little kid, you know, I, for the first time, was messing around with VHS and my family's video cameras, and I would start recording. I would create my own movies and everything. And, you know, I wish growing up I had something like this, like similar to Oregon State University eCampus, because this is like the perfect way for not only for me, but also for you, the GTR listeners, to learn how to create digital content online, also learn about computer science, and also the business side too, man, which is very, very important. But as a student in OSU's Digital Communication Arts program, Jake developed real-world skills through hands-on learning experiences like the things that I mentioned before. That's the type of interactive online learning environment that Oregon State is known for. Plus, all online programs and classes are developed by the same world-class faculty who teach on campus at OSU. And the good thing is, OSU eCampus is ranked number 4 in the nation for online education by U.S. News and World Report. So, GTR listeners, for you to learn more about Jake, the Digital Communication Arts degree, and the 80-plus programs Oregon State eCampus delivers online, visit ecampus.oregonstate.edu/GTR. Go today and check it out. Let me repeat this one more time. Head over right now to ecampus.oregonstate.edu/GTR.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, next question. This is from Vision.
And you don't care. Okay.
What do you want me to say, Paris? I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you.
Okay.
There's nothing. I mean, I just mentioned earlier that people are focusing on the negative more than anything. I just said it. You know? All right, so we have another question here from Vision. He says, what do you guys think of Microsoft potentially buying Discord? Do you think it's a good thing or bad thing? Let's go with Pete. Pete, you're a fan of Discord?
Repeat that question again. Is that did I hear you right? My opinions on Microsoft potentially or rumored to,
but yeah, potentially at buying Discord. Yeah, that's the report been going around.
It's strange because Xbox Live and their chat has always been. We'll talk about the technology of it, right? Not the content in it. The technology has always been pretty good in the grand scheme of things, right? I mean, if you go back years, you live streamed E3 from your laptop on chat. You know, you were recording podcast content via Xbox Live like years ago, like 10, 15 years ago. So the technology has always been solid. I know this just recently they started using Skype as the backend technology for that. I think potentially pulling Discord as a way to try to homogenize the community, I think is a smart move. If you look at it from the grand scheme of things, Discord over the last 5 years has been a top-notch application, not just used for games, but used for everything else, whether you're talking, you know, community, where you're talking tech support, and brand awareness. So them looking at a potential acquisition of Discord makes sense. The question would be, and obviously it would become tailored and seamlessly integrated into the Xbox interface. The question would then be, will they allow or will they enable it for third parties? And that's where the question is, does that require Microsoft to then do the coding to enable PlayStation and or potentially Nintendo integration, or would that be something that you would just block out altogether? But I think it makes sense from an overall scheme of how it fits their tech, you know, how it fits their ecosystem, their technology, their future forward vision for what gaming is going to be. Obviously, you know, it's, for me personally, gaming is more fun when I'm playing with friends. Yes, I have those moments where I'm sitting there and I don't want to talk to anybody and I just want to play a single player experience. But for the most part, if I can sit there and play a game with my friends, it's much more fun. I do that so much more fun. You know, I think it makes more sense to do that. So I would love to see it. Whether it will happen, I don't know.
Yeah, like for me, the other day, I was using Discord and I got together with a group of a friend of mine that they live in Dominican Republic and other land countries. We were just using Discord, just talking for like a good 2 hours, you know? So this is, to me, Discord goes beyond gaming, you know? And I could definitely see Microsoft acquiring Discord. And the reason is also, again, from the gaming side, for something like xCloud, this would be perfect for like mobile and other devices that if they do add in and get that app of like the streaming service on TV. I think Discord would be perfect for that when it comes to like voice chat and everything too, you know what I'm saying? So, and plus the community part, I think is very, very important to Microsoft. Now, I know the conversation what people were bringing up was, oh, it might turn into like a Skype and it might be a terrible experience. I don't see that at all. I think I see more of the good of Microsoft acquiring the company than anything else, you know? So what about you, Paris? What do you think about Discord, man, in the future, man, for Microsoft?
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice. I would imagine Microsoft would do this because it would make sense for them to basically bake in Discord at the platform level. The way I look at Discord, and this includes PlayStation, Nintendo, mobile, PC, everything, it would be nice if Discord just became the global game chat. So it doesn't matter what platform you're on, we can all communicate when we're playing together, because obviously crossplay is becoming the norm versus the exception as we move forward into this next generation. So if Microsoft can help implement that, again, I mean, you know, I don't know what they would do with PlayStation or Nintendo, but you would know at a minimum, they would bake it into the Xbox ecosystem, and the Xbox ecosystem would include cloud, would include PC, and obviously the Xbox consoles. And you would at least have some universal chat in that sense. So like when we talk about like a game like Outriders or whatever, I could be on my PC, we're all in Discord, you're on your console, you link your gamer tag up with your Discord ID, so you don't even have to have a secondary device when you're playing Outriders on Xbox to communicate with me on PC. That would be the dream, so that it's just seamless across the board and we can all communicate, collaborate together. Obviously, you hop on your PC, all the different, you know, community features that are already existing on Discord, we can do that as well. Yeah, I personally think it would be a great move just as a gamer, period. Because like I said, it would just make crossplay even more convenient to, you know, for communication tool and everything. So yeah, I think it'd be good.
Yeah, definitely. 100% agree with you with that. All right, so we have one more question. This is the last one right here. This is for Matt. Hey, GTR, often on the show, you say that the subscription model of Game Pass is the future of gaming. I'm enjoying Game Pass PC, but do have concerns about this model because of our everyday streaming services. For example, he mentions Netflix is the leader and still raises their price often to try to compete. Disney's operating at loss to have low subscriptions prices. But the question he has is, with digital content and streaming becoming more popular, what do you guys think about price increases in the future where gaming is only subscription-based? What you guys thought about that, man? Go ahead.
No, I would say they're going to raise the price eventually. It's going to happen. It's just you see it across all subscription services. So don't be shocked when they do, because of course they will. But I would say this, you have a choice. They're not going to, you'll still be able to purchase games individually. So if Game Pass raises to a level that is no longer acceptable to you, then you stop subscribing and you go back to the traditional model. That's what it's going to be. I would also say, as they raise prices, as Disney, because like I literally got a notification yesterday that Disney Plus is raising their price by $1, right? So, okay, but you're also giving me more value for my subscription as well, because we're seeing more content come to the service. That's kind of the trade-off of it. Like, all right, you raised my price. What else are you giving me? Because you raised my price. So that's the challenge that Xbox is going to have with Game Pass. All right, you're going to raise it. Okay, you already gave me EA Play. Are you giving me Ubisoft next? Are you cutting a new third-party deal so that more games are coming there day one? Are these 23 studios that you have now are going to start consistently pumping out titles every quarter so that I'm getting more bang for my buck? Then, okay, you raised the price $1.50 a month, $2 a month. It's acceptable to me. But only you get to make that decision, right? That's up to you if it's worth it to you. I don't want them to raise anything, but I know it's eventually going to happen one day. Right now, I don't think it'll happen anytime soon, because right now, trying to get more people on board. But once they hit a magic number, let's just say it's 50 million, don't be shocked if they raise the price after that. Once they get enough people hooked in, and people are resubbing and re-upping up, and everyone's off the dollar deals, and they see that they have a consistent audience in there that is subscribing every month because they like what they're getting. Mm-hmm. And like I said, now it's all of a sudden 50 million consistently on that service. Oh, don't be shocked if the price raises, because it'll eventually happen. It's just a part of the business. So I don't want it to. I don't think anybody wants to pay more money if they don't have to, mm-hmm. but it's just a part of it. It's going to happen. Because it happens, like he said, on all subscription services.
Yeah. I agree with that, man. Like, I think right now, they just, like you said, they're just trying to get that audience. And once they hit that number, now they have to do research to see if it still makes sense for Microsoft to still continue with the same price. Because remember, they're investing a lot in studios and a lot of other things. Is it going to make sense for Microsoft to keep it the same or increase it in the future? You know, so, but mm-hmm. here's the thing. Netflix has been raising their prices like crazy all the time, and yeah, people complain, but people still subscribe there because, like you said, Paris, they have the content, they have the exclusive movies, exclusive series, and some that, like now, I think it was just recently, Sony Entertainment is going to have all their movies next year in 2022 on Netflix.
Only Spider-Man and Jurassic Park.
Oh, only those two? Oh, I thought it was more. Two. Okay. Thanks for correcting me. But see, like stuff like that, people are they complain, but they're not leaving the service at all, man. You know what I'm saying? So but
you also have to think about it. The money invested by Netflix this year, I think this year is the first time that they're actually going to start potentially making a profit. I think sometime in March or February. You have to understand the licensing deals that Netflix has come across in the last 10 years is mind-boggling, when they were billions in debt, right? Honestly, the pandemic probably may have saved them from a financial perspective, because everybody was stuck at home and required a subscription model. So that actually has helped them from a fiscal perspective make money. And so, and that's why you start to see this new original content stuff being the prime example, being the prime content for them. Because they're no longer requiring or they're no longer, as a subscription service, being held captive by these licensing deals. That's why they're spending so much more money on providing their own premium content. Like, if people say that like Orange is the New Black was their golden ticket, it was a licensing deal they just made so much more money because it got so popular that everybody was throwing money at them to get that licensing and that subscription to mm-hmm. start watching it. But that's why they're flipping it and going towards their own content. That's why you see it. That's why you see Disney Plus being, they're able to provide that. They're able to provide that at such a low content or at such a low price because they already own the content. It's Disney. They already own National Geographic. They already own ESPN. They already own Marvel and all the Disney movies behind that banner. So yeah, they're making boatloads of cash. It literally prints money. Like if we all think that Nintendo is the money printer, no, my friends, Disney is the money printer. Don't have much of a licensing fee to have to worry about. It's literally just an infrastructure cost at that point. Mm-hmm. And so if you think a $1 increase across the board to all of their bundles, and you take their, what is it, like 30 million subscribers, probably more. All it takes is one wave to recoup any money lost across the board for that. And those will come, especially as they start to tie in. We saw it with Wanda, you know, the Wanda and Vision. And then boom, you had, you know, Falcon and Winter Soldier right after that. And then you're going to have Loki right after that. Once they start tying these series back to back to back to back, you're not going to see the undulation of subscriptions going up and down because people are like, oh, wait a minute, we've got another series coming right after this. I'm not going to give up my subscription. I'm just gonna let it roll right over. And it's, they're able to continue to do that year, you know, series over series over series. It's just nonstop money printing. Yeah, fine. They're taking a hit from a Disneyland perspective, you know, their theme parks aren't making the money, but they're supplementing that cash on the mm-hmm. subscription service. So, man, I would spend grandiose amounts of money to spend one day in that boardroom just to learn that thinking, just to learn what they're looking at or what they're thinking of, you know, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years down the line, just to know what's on that plate. Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, definitely. And you forgot to mention too, Pete, I think after the Falcon Winter Soldier, I think the new series from Star Wars, the Bad Patch, mm-hmm. that comes out too. So that's going to be some time to fill that gap between the Marvel, the next series, which is Loki.
Yeah, and it's not just the Marvel. I was just using Marvel as the example because that's what everybody's mindset is on now because they're so new. But mm-hmm. you know, we had the Mandalorian right before WandaVision, right? And then, like you said, Bad Batch and all these other little series are going to start coming in and just start supplementing content over the entire year, because that was the big thing about Netflix and Disney Plus and everything else was when Mandalorian came out the first season, everybody threw money at Disney Plus to get the subscription. But as soon as it was done, they dropped. Right. Mm-hmm. There was no other support. There was no other content for them to stay subscribed to. And that was a big issue. So that's why now that they've got the content ball rolling, you're just seeing it's just nonstop. It's just going to be maintaining that subscription cost across the board. Oh.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Anything else, guys, before we wrap it up? Anything else? We're good. All right. All right, everyone, head over to gamertagradio.com. Listen to our past episodes, and you can also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. And again, we love questions from listeners. Make sure to hit us up, contact us. Even if you go to Discord, you could also go over there and post your questions, because I got some of these questions from Discord too. All right, so here's how you can contact us to be part of Fan Mail.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. I just want to say, everybody, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching this live. And also thank you for sending us questions here for this episode of Gamertag Radio. And we're going to be out here. Until next time, we are out. Peace. Welcome back, Pete. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.